Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, venues and studios face closure as energy prices rocket. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
Of course, you're not with me. You're even less with me than usual because you're in a hotel in Norway.
I am in a hotel in Bergen, Norway, at the brilliant Vilvilvest Festival and Conference tomorrow, as we record this. It's happened by the time you listen. So if you're listening, I can't help you.
There's no point telling them this.
But we are presenting four sessions, a CMU strand at Vilvilvest tomorrow, talking about, well, why am I going to talk about? It's too late, isn't it? It was really good, I'm going to predict. So many interesting
excellent
things
stuff
were said. Almost certainly so. It was the best selection of conference-based presentations, discussions, ideas and insights that have ever been seen. Pretty confident that that's going to be fine, even though none of that has happened as we record this. So yeah, if this is sounding more echoey than normal, it's because I am in, well, the ceilings are very high in this hotel. It's quite an old building. In the olden days, they used to put ceilings high, didn't they?
Yes.
Until they realised that nobody is 8 foot high. So I am I'm quite an echoey room. So we're just saying that, I mean, I'm sure Andy Malt's sound editing skills, you won't even notice. I don't know why I'm mentioning it, but if you're thinking I'm sounding odd, that's why.
I think they'll notice. Anyway, but this is Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. As ever, we're going to take a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when the streaming services and the US music publishers reached a deal over the royalty rate paid by the former to the latter, which means neither side will have to go through the time and expense of a messy and contentious hearing before the US Copyright Royalty Board.
Yeah, streaming services, music publishers, representatives of both sides of that, getting round the table and sensibly negotiating a deal rather than arguing in a petty fashion in front of some judges. No fun at all, music publishing, I mean, sector and streaming services.
A deal they probably should have done in 2017, but still.
So yeah, this is to do with what share of the digital dollar goes to the song rights in the US. In most other countries, that's just negotiated by music publishers and collecting societies with streaming services. But in the US, there's a compulsory license. It's set by some judges. Everyone goes and argues in front of the judges. And in recent years, there has been a lot of arguing because the streaming services thought that the rate was too high. The publishers thought the rate was too low. We were expecting lots of angry shouting in the months ahead on that, but no, they've reached a deal. So following the most recent setting of rates, which although technically was 5 years ago, was only finalized a few months ago due to tedious appeals. So as of now, the rate that is paid to the songwriters, to music publishers and songwriters in the US from streams is 15.1%. A deal has been done that will see it increase. Are you ready for the increase? Drum roll,
I'm excited.
Please.
Big one, I guess.
To 15.35%. But, you know, a lot of money comes through streaming. Points of percents, that's a lot of cash. And although it is nowhere near the 20% that the music publishers suggested that maybe would be a fairer rate and when they first submitted their documentation to this latest round of CRB hearings, it does mean that the previous increase to that 15% just over, that the streaming services, or most of the streaming services previously opposed, that is all now agreed, that is fair. There will still be a few other increases, albeit very slight increases, in the years ahead in the US. There's also some other technicalities about the deal, about things like minimum rates and bundles, where the publishers have got a few concessions from the streaming services as well. So all of that happened last week. So go and read it in the CMU Daily on the CMU website from last week. And it does mean, maybe actually this is good news for listeners of Setlist, we're not going to have endless episodes of Setlist talking about the tetchy, drawn out, tedious Copyright Royalty Board proceedings. I think that would have been fun, but maybe our listeners would not agree with us. So maybe maybe it is good news that that's all settled. But anyway, we're definitely not here to talk about any of that this week. That is for certain.
No, later on, we'll be discussing bad news for people who invested in a merch company that has gone into administration. But first, Various music industry organisations have urged the incoming new UK Prime Minister to provide urgent support for music venues, recording studios and the wider nighttime sector as they tackle surging energy bills and the cost of living crisis. Trade bodies representing the music, nighttime and hospitality industries have expressed increased concern in recent weeks that many businesses that just about survived all the shutdowns that occurred during the COVID pandemic will now close because of energy costs and other economic challenges.
Yeah, has to be said, while there were some issues and certainly some gaps in the support that was offered by the UK government to the hospitality, nighttime and live entertainment industries during the pandemic, at least there was support, and in some cases some pretty good support, we should admit. And generally speaking, during the pandemic, although as I say, there were a few issues and a few people were left out, in the main, ministers in the UK government did engage with the nighttime, the hospitality, the entertainment sectors regarding the challenges they were facing during the pandemic and how government could help. It has to be said, with the new economic challenges which are occurring, and at the moment the big one, anyone in the UK knows this, but the big thing in the UK at the moment is the surging costs of energy. Energy prices are going up all over the world, of course, but for various tedious technical reasons, particularly big increases happening here in the UK. And while everybody in the UK is facing big challenges in the months ahead because of these spiking energy prices, that is particularly true for businesses and certainly, hospitality, live entertainment businesses, venues, clubs, etc. are feeling that, unlike in COVID times, the governments are not engaging with them this time round.
Now, for anyone trying to heat their home in the UK, the problem is that there have been various increases to the energy price cap, which is supposed to keep the prices affordable. But for businesses, there is no energy price cap, meaning that these companies are now seeing their energy prices go through the roof. I mean, you know, several 100% increases in a short space of time. We've already seen pubs and cafes go under because they simply can't afford to take on these increases. And some are saying that it would be cheaper for them to close over the winter and pay rent on a dormant property rather than to remain open. So it's clear there's an immediate need for some sort of intervention. The problem is that for the last few months, the UK has basically been stumbling along without a government since the resignation of Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He has said that this will be a matter for the new Prime Minister, who, as we publish this episode, is set to be announced later today. It will either be Liz Truss or Rishi Sunak, with Truss being the favourite, but with many music companies saying that they will go under without support by the middle of this week, that doesn't give very long to announce a grand plan. And there are concerns that even if they move quickly, neither leadership candidate is really up to the task of addressing the current economic mess that they will inherit from Boris Johnson.
So yes, this is causing concern for, well, everybody living in the UK at the moment, all businesses, but particularly smaller and middle-sized businesses. And in the context of the music industry, again, everybody, but particularly those music companies that have premises that they need to heat throughout the winter, like venues, like clubs, and also recording studios, which is why organisations like UK Music, which speaks for the entire music industry, also the Nighttime Industry Association, the Music Venue Trust, and the Music Producers Guild have all been speaking out on this issue, basically trying to put pressure on the government and the new Prime Minister and the team that were built around that new Prime Minister to make sure that, A, they get on with this immediately. I mean, for God's sake, hopefully they will. But crucially, because this current energy price crisis and the wider economic issues that we're currently seeing in the UK, because they affect everybody, they affect so many people and businesses. I guess the issue is that you want to make sure that each sector's specific issues and problems are on the agenda. And that is why these various organisations have been putting out statements saying you need to sort this out and you need to make sure that venues, clubs, nighttime businesses, studios, the music businesses that are being particularly affected by this, you need to make sure that they are part of any solution you may or may not come up with.
Yeah, and if you want some stats about how big the problem is, the Music Venue Trust did a survey of its 941 members and found that small music venues are seeing an average rise of 316% in their energy costs, with some facing as much as 740%. This is going to add tens of thousands of pounds to their running costs, with the average fuel bill rising from £1,245 per month to £5,179 per month. One venue reported that it had been quoted £42,000 for the year, with the supplier demanding full payment in advance. All of this means, says the MVT, that around 30% of its membership are facing the threat of permanent closure. And it's a similar story for recording studios, with one unnamed but reportedly major London studio telling the Music Producers Guild that it's expecting its energy costs to more than double in October and is facing an extra £156,000 on its annual bill. And this obviously all comes as these businesses continue to recover from the forced closures and drop-offs in customers that came as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And while government support did keep a large proportion of these venues and recording studios and more afloat during that period, there's a risk now that all the money the government provided then could be wasted as these companies find that they simply can't survive these price increases. And there are other exacerbating problems too. It's not just businesses facing higher costs. Prices of energy, food and more, as we said, are rising for consumers as well, many of whom are going to find that they simply don't have money spare to spend on going out. And also the music industry, and particularly the live industry, saw many people leave jobs for other sectors during the pandemic. And for a lot of companies, this has seen wage bills go up as they attempt to hold on to the best people who remain in the sector.
So all in all, while the pandemic is now supposedly behind us and it all is starting to feel like a real distant memory, a whole new stack of challenges are occurring. And as we've kind of alluded to several times, the fear is that companies that manage to weather the COVID storm, in many cases by taking government funding along the way, but also in some cases crowdfunding or from all those various music industry initiatives there were to help support venues and labels and managers and people in music, got through the pandemic. But all of these different issues, energy prices in particular, but there's other problems as well, are going to put a lot of people and a lot of companies out of business. So it seems almost certain that there are going to need to be various government measures once we have a government to introduce those measures. Maybe some specific scheme to support the cultural industries and the live industries, like we saw during the pandemic with the Culture Recovery Fund. But of course, there are other things that could be done in the short term, which various organisations have been calling for. Indeed, many of these are measures that people were calling for even before it became clear just how big the energy price problem was going to be. So those are things like cutting VAT on tickets and events and hospitality, as happened during the COVID pandemic, extending the business rate support that again was introduced during the pandemic and actually in some cases preceded the pandemic. So tax breaks and other initiatives, in addition to specific grant funding, that could help mitigate all of these issues and challenges that everybody is facing, but the music industry, and particularly those parts of the music and nighttime and hospitality sectors that had such a rough time during the pandemic as well.
In his statement on the matter, UK Music CEO Jamie Njuku-Goodwin said, "Spiralling energy costs have created an existential threat for venues and music studios. It's urgent that government takes action to support businesses with the costs they are facing. We all saw just how miserable life was without live music during the pandemic, when venues were closed for months. The high cost of energy bills could now close them forever. The new Prime Minister must ensure that music businesses are included in the support measures that are brought forward to deal with soaring costs. And the government should look at cutting VAT and extending business rate support to help music businesses that are fighting for their survival."
And similar statements have been put out by all of those other trade organisations we mentioned and a whole load of others representing pubs and clubs and bars and hospitality businesses as well. Will the new Prime Minister, who by the time you hear this podcast may well be in place, will they listen? Will they respond? And as you sort of said earlier, even if they do they have the ideas, the strategy to deal with any of this? Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that beyond the small base of Conservative Party supporters and Boris Johnson fans, nobody's got that much confidence. But I know some optimists are hoping that one of the reasons why the government, in this sort of weird period where Boris Johnson has been sort of sitting around doing nothing, waiting to finally be out of a job, Some optimists are hoping the reason why we've not seen any tangible initiatives to deal with these issues, why the music industry, for example, and venues and hospitality businesses and nighttime businesses are not seeing the sort of engagement from ministers that they saw during the pandemic. Maybe it's because the Conservative Party decided a few months ago, let's wait and allow the new Prime Minister to swoop in and immediately have some easy wins by introducing some of the more obvious measures to provide support. I mean, quite a few businesses will have gone out of business while we're waiting. But there are pessimists who think, yeah, that's not what's happening. These guys just don't know what to do. The new guard will be no better. We're all screwed. So that's a nice conclusion to this story. Maybe the optimists are right. And within hours of this podcast going out, a massive strategy will be published. The tax cuts will happen. Funding will be available. But earlier, I was hazarding a guess of what's going to happen between now and you listening to this podcast. And I'm going to make an assumption that that probably hasn't happened by the time you're listening to this podcast.
And finally, on this episode of Setlist, more news of companies fighting for survival. The founder of Awesome Merchandise, the Leeds-based merch print and production firm that has many clients in the music industry, has confirmed that people who invested in the company via crowdfunding 4 years ago won't get their money back or see any return after it was confirmed that the company has gone into administration.
Yeah, so speculation that there might be problems at Awesome Merchandise started to increase in recent weeks as people started to see more complaints being posted online about issues around orders and refunds from Awesome, particularly sort of artists and labels and other music companies who had been trying to get merchandise created and were having issues there. Of course, although we've not really talked about this so much in recent years, when we've been looking at the impact of the COVID pandemic on the music industry, although it was promoters and venues and festivals that saw the biggest negative impact of COVID, the merchandise business was affected too. Yes, artists and labels, etc., could still be selling merchandise online, direct to fan, and possibly an increasing number of artists were doing that. But a lot of merchandise sales in the music industry, of course, is linked to live activity, to shows, to tours. That's the platform where artists are most prolific in selling their merch. So therefore, during the pandemic, when people were not touring, not only were the venues and the promoters and ticketing companies affected, so were the merchandise companies as well. And it transpires that the challenges that that created for Awesome Merchandise were ultimately insurmountable, which is why the company has gone into administration. That said, and this is both good news, although also makes this story slightly more controversial from the perspective of those people who invested a few years ago, the core Awesome business will continue to operate. And that's thanks to a thing here in the UK known as a pre-pack administration. So that is where a company, an insolvent company, goes into administration. But immediately, once the administrators are appointed, the assets of the company are sold. And actually, the plan for who is going to buy the assets is put in place before the administration even begins. It is subject to the approval of the administrators. There is a process you have to go through to make sure all of that is legit. But what it means is that the assets of the company get quite quickly sold. And when you have a pre-pack administration, it's actually quite common for the buyer of those assets to be a new legal entity or another legal entity that is also controlled by the directors of the company that went insolvent. And so that is what has happened here. So Awesome Merchandise went into administration, and then very quickly after that, the assets, the IP, the kit that the company had was bought by a company called Print Ink Group Limited. And that was a brand new company set up by the founder of Awesome, a guy called Luke Hodgson.
Confirming that that deal had been done, one of the administrators appointed by Awesome Merchandise, Howard Smith, said, "Awesome Merchandise is a bespoke business with strong B2B relationships across the music industry, which, unfortunately, like many other companies, experienced significant financial challenges as a result of COVID-19. We're delighted to have completed this transaction, which secures the future of the business, as well as safeguarding the jobs of 94 employees working out of the head office in Leeds." Now, although the quick sale to Print Ink Group Limited should reduce the negative impact of the administration on employees and customers, that obviously doesn't help the people who invested in the Awesome company via a CrowdCube campaign in 2018. As the merch firm was approaching its 10th birthday, it raised over £650,000 on the crowdfunding platform in order to fund expansion, especially in the US market via a new base in Austin, Texas. Because the awesome company has gone into administration, those investors won't get their money back or see any return. A spokesperson for the administrators confirmed to the Yorkshire Post, Crowdcube funders as equity investors will not form part of the unsecured creditors.
Once all of that had been announced, Hodson actually posted a message on the Crowdcube website aimed at the people who had invested in that crowdfunding a few years ago. And he said, "I am deeply sorry that I was not able to carry Awesome Merchandise Limited and its investment from the Crowdcube community to a successful exit or return on investment. Many investors, big and small, are close friends and family, and many others are long-term customers, partners, and suppliers." And I guess, I mean, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? In this scenario, we've seen a couple of innovative ticketing startups facing big challenges in recent weeks, again, a hangover from what happened during the COVID pandemic. And in both of those cases, these are companies that raised millions, and a lot of the investors in those businesses may well lose their millions as a result of that. Here, it's relatively speaking, a relatively small amount of money, but because of the nature of crowdfunding and platforms like Crowdcube, quite a lot of the people who put money in are relatively small companies, or in many cases, individuals. The statement that Hodson wrote continued, "Those of you that know me personally have a good idea of the circumstances and pressures that I've been working under for a prolonged period, and that administration is something I have made every effort to avoid. I work to find any solution other than this, due to the impact it will have on investors and creditors, but nothing else was forthcoming." He then said he was grateful to everyone that supported the Crowdcube fundraising a few years back, and for the team around him who worked under difficult circumstances over the last couple of years throughout the pandemic. "It gives me some comfort," he said, "that the huge support we've received over the years will not be completely wasted as a result of the assets of the business being bought by this new company, so that the core business will continue to operate."
Responding to criticism by some of the Crowdcube investors regarding the sale of Awesome's assets to Hodson's new company via that pre-pack administration, he subsequently wrote, "The funding for the new company came externally from family after every other avenue had been exhausted. I'm extremely grateful that my family helped at the last minute to give a chance for me to continue working in an area I am passionate about, and I believe I have helped benefit the UK print and creative markets on the whole. The belief my family has shown ultimately helped to save over 90 people's jobs." He then said, "3 weeks ago today, I was in the position where I needed to liquidate the business completely. The deal that has been done had to go through a lot of diligence and external auditing. It met the requirements set out by law. This was the last type of deal or option left open."
So yeah, another music company which was hit by the pandemic but survived the pandemic but then faced challenges that it just could not meet in more recent months. Although on one level, it is good that the core business will continue to operate. But we must also acknowledge, obviously, everybody involved in that Crowdcube investment a few years ago, out of pocket, and therefore, understandably, quite a few aggrieved people in that community. I also sense from some of the things I've been seeing on the social networks, some of the artists that have used Awesome over the years, also a little bit disgruntled of what is going on. But you never know, they are still there. They have got the core business. It's really good they've managed to save all of those jobs. So maybe they can now run with it and see if they can get the version 2 of the Awesome Merchandise business through this new legal entity going. We will see, I guess.
But yeah, despite that, quite a lot of doom and gloom in this edition of Setlist. So sorry about that. The good news is, though, that that's all we've got time for this week. Hopefully we can bring you something more upbeat next time. Although I think it's fair to say that we haven't seen the last of any of these financial problems facing music companies, which, I mean, the energy price rises, that's going to continue being a problem for some time to come. But yeah, that's the end of this edition of Setlist. If you want to read more about anything we've discussed this week, go to the show notes in your podcast player right now or at setlistpodcast.com. You'll find links to everything there. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you've not done that already. Rate and review the show, that's very helpful. And if you've got anything you want to tell us, email us, setlist@unlimitedmedia.co.uk. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Malt and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, go to completemusicupdate.com.